Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're just thankful for this beautiful morning, Lord. We're just thankful for all these middle schoolers in here, Lord. I am thankful for them. I just pray that you just put me out of the way and give them something to extract out of your word, Lord. And I just pray for the service later on today, and I just pray that you are here with us this time, Lord. And I just ask all these things in your son's name. Amen. So I say favorite, but I've got a lot of different favorites, passages out of the Bible, and it seems to kind of change with whatever season of life I'm in. And you know, I feel like in today's world, it's easy to have things really quick, and I think patience is something that we sometimes lose relative grasp of. We want things immediately, but it takes being patient to understand growth and to slow down and enjoy the season or the moment that you're in. And I spent a lot of time reflecting about that this week, and I think my favorite passage for the past 3 or 4 years has been from 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 7. And I'm sure you guys have heard this one before, but hopefully there's something you can take out of it with a little bit of a different spin on it. So let me read it. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard to me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned? Except he strive lawfully. The husband and the laborer laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. So, when you're studying the Bible, you want to look at the book context. So does anybody know what 2 Timothy is? Does anybody know who wrote 2 Timothy? Paul. Right, and this was Paul's last letter to Timothy. And he wrote it while he was in prison in Rome because he was on stay for execution. They were going to kill him because he was preaching about Jesus during the rule of Emperor Nero, who hated Christianity and Christians. And he was writing this letter to Timothy, and Timothy was like his son in Christ, a disciple of him, of Paul. And we, you know, there's 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, obviously. But in this letter, Paul was really trying to give final instructions to Timothy as he steps in to assume the leadership and the ministry of the gospel and the discipleship. You know, they were trying to get people the good news just like we are today and we should be today. And then, so now we know it's a letter from Paul. We know he's writing to, you know, somebody that he discipled. It's his final letter and he's giving instructions to him on how to lead. And so every chapter is a little bit different within 2 Timothy, but this chapter's context, chapter 2, is focusing on the ideal character of the person who serves Christ and the responsibilities of some believers. And then the verses here, just 1 through 7, really stick out to me because Paul is doing a really good job of using common occupations or activities like we talked about to paint a picture and metaphorically illustrate, meaning give you something you know to maybe describe to something you might not understand, or just use it as a bridge to help you better understand. Kind of like parables, when Jesus was speaking in parables. But he was, you know, metaphorically trying to illustrate the qualities of the right kind of faithful men. In this case, men, it could be maybe applied to women, and able to suffer and endure the hardship for Christ's sake. Through the power of God. And so for Timothy, as he leads the church And into this next phase, he was going to face suffering, and he wanted to prepare him for that. But he also tells him, you're going to need help, and these are the qualities of the people that you need to help you as you lead and take it to the next, where God wants you to next. And so in that second verse of 2 Timothy 2, it says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so then he's describing these three occupations that, you know, anybody in that time would know, just like we kind of have an idea of it now. And I'll kind of walk through those. So in 2 Timothy 2:3, he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So a soldier is committed through a promise for a mission and a purpose. Does anybody know anybody that serves in the military? Yeah. And you go there and they go to boot camp and they've got all these ranks and you have got to follow what people with a higher rank above you do, and you say, yes, sir, and you go, and you trust that those that are directing it and leading it, those above them, have the wisdom, knowledge, and strategy that's going to win. But their job as a soldier is to be committed to it because they made a promise, they enlisted to do it, and they understand what the mission and what the purpose is. They have courage and are willing to sacrifice themselves to accomplish the mission. They know who the enemy is. A soldier knows who the enemy is. They're focused and obedient. They're not entangled in the world of civilian affairs. You know, you think about how they will go to base, and then sometimes they can't really share much information, but they know to be on top of their game. They need to train. They need to know what they're supposed to know. They need to have the courage and faith to go after it and get it done and stick to it. They will follow a commanding officer is another quality of a soldier that applies to, good qualities in Christians. You know, we know who we're following and that's God, but also those above us, because I'm not very well versed in the ranks of military, but I know there's a general on top of one, and they call it on the Navy the admiral, but then there's first class lieutenants and captains, and you guys have probably heard those names before. And that's kind of like the structure of our church, and probably similar to what was going on back here when Paul was writing this letter. You know, we have Pastor Brian, and we have your parents have adult Bible fellowship pastors, and we have a family pastor, and you guys have Nick and Kendra in here, and Luke when we get down into the high school and middle school. So there's a structure to it all, but being willing to and committed to following the commanding officer and then sharing the suffering. That's what it's all about here when it applies to being a Christian, for the hardship and sake of Christ. So, are you ready for battle? That's what a soldier needs to ask himself, and that's what we should be asking ourselves, because spiritual warfare is real. Do I know the enemy and all the tricks that the enemy, being the devil, is going to try to deploy to trip me up and get me off mission? Somebody once told me when I was about your age, the devil's either going to make you bad or he's going to make you busy. And that'll keep you off the mission and serving and getting the word to those that need to receive it. And then a real question that kind of can convict even me is, am I obedient to the commanding officer? Are you obedient to your teachers, to your parents, to your grandparents? It's just something to think about. But to be able to be used and to have the qualities that you need to spread the word to those who are lost, I think there's things we can pull, like Paul said to Timothy, from a soldier. Let's go to the second one. The second one I had to do a little bit of work on the first time I read it, but it makes more sense now. But let's walk through it together. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Somebody who strives for mastery is like an athlete. Soccer, seven sports, maybe six, you know, six or seven sports. Oh no, why did I do that? I wasn't even trying to be cool. But an athlete, striving for mastery. When you're an athlete, you got to be dedicated and you have to be self-disciplined. You know, sometimes when it's during the season, you can't stay out very late the night before the game because you know you'll be tired the next day. You know you made a commitment to your team. They need you to play your role within your team. And you think about the top athletes in the world. You know, I don't know if you guys follow NBA basketball, like LeBron James. Have you ever heard of him? I don't know. You never know. There was this article on just all the things that he does outside, off the basketball court, to be prepared for the basketball court. And obviously, he's a little bit older than me, but he that's dedication and being disciplined in it. And at what cost is a question that comes to my mind, but he's determined and he's dedicated to what he's doing. Athletes are willing to sacrifice worldly pleasures that others may enjoy to train and improve. You know, sleep is important and what you eat is important and practice and just making sure your muscles are ready to go. My muscles were not ready to go yesterday for 4 or 5 games of volleyball after Friday night playing 3 games of volleyball.
Is it true that it went on until like 1 a.m., 1:30? Golly.
It was.
The Shipley team, the black team.
Oh, Shipley's?
Awesome.
It's supposed to
end at 8. You're telling us. Hey, say that a little louder. I'm just kidding.
It was like him getting outliners or whatever. He went outside the lines or something.
Yeah, it was wild. It was fun, though. It was good fun, but I'll tell you one thing. I wasn't dedicated nor self-disciplined to prepare for volleyball season this year. So. But an athlete striving for mastery runs in a way in which they're going to win a prize. You know, when you're there's a difference between being a participant, like I think I am, kind of on volleyball, than when you know that you want to be the best that you can be in soccer or in volleyball or basketball or cross country or track. When you want to master it, that takes commitment, dedication, and focus. And so they do everything it takes to be in the game and not a spectator of the game. You don't want to work and eat and sleep and sacrifice off the court or off the field to not be in the game and be on the bench. And it pushes you to maybe practice a little bit more, maybe go outside and kick the ball with your twin sister a few more times and practice dribbling and rainbow kicks and whatever else is in soccer. I thought that was a term that they might know, but I don't think that might be not right. I don't know. But I'll tell you, they're just not satisfied with being on the team but riding the bench. Role players play a role just like kind of within our church. But Christians, as Christians, we really need to understand that Jesus, God most likely appreciates us being in the game and not a spectator. Being in the game meaning serving in the church, being in His Word. You know, as Christians, we're to be sanctified, to be more like Jesus every day. And that is a process that I don't think anybody can master. And there's no master perfect athlete either, but something we should all strive for and to be in the game, not on the bench.
Kind of like that verse behind you?
Kind of like James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. This is your March of Memory verse, by the way.
So, 100% heard that before.
That's good. Now you can memorize it. Put it in your heart and lock it away for a day when you're going to need it. Meditate on it. The Where was I? So here's another thing that's interesting when you think about athletes and when you want to master a game. Can you, I'm sure there's chances in soccer where it would just be way easier if you could take the ponytail of whoever you're playing and pull it down to the ground. Or sometimes when a ball's coming up and you just can't quite get your leg up there, it'd be pretty easy to just grab the ball instead and then roll it down and start kicking it. But when you're a master of a game, when you're a master of the game, you know you can't win unless you play by the rules of the game. You're in the Olympics. Anybody watch the Winter Olympics?
A little bit.
Which ones did you like the best? What sports? Yeah. Think about the dedication it took to be an Olympic figure skater. Like, how do they practice quad, spinning around four times and then landing on ice skates?
I can do that. That'd be so easy.
Oh yeah.
I could hit like a quad backflip and then like a spinny and then land it.
I seriously don't.
That'd be so easy.
In a pool?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about like your joking,
sorry. No.
That would take
30
seconds to do. And you do not have
the
time to go up a couple feet and then come back.
That quad axle, they can get it done within probably 1.5 seconds.
You know, they practice on the ground. They do it on the ground first. Can you spin, do four rotations?
Before hitting the ground? Let's not try in here. That like makes my legs hurt, and they already hurt plenty. So you got to know the rules of the game. And on the flip side, you know that breaking the rules, in an effort to cheat or win, you'll be disqualified. Those Olympians know that. I think there was some problem with the curlers where they would let that big rock go, I think they call it, and then they'd touch it one more time, and it became a big controversy during the Olympics. I don't know why. I don't know how it helped you. I don't know how much impact your little finger can have on a 40-pound rock that you're trying to slide down 20 feet of ice, but that was a rule that's going to, you know, can disqualify people. So I'd imagine God appreciates failure in the field versus being a spectator or cheering on the sidelines. Yeah, great job. Yeah, my church does that. Yeah, I go to church Sundays, but I don't think about it very much the next rest of the week. I mean, it's something that striving for mastery every single day, dedication and self-discipline, being in the Word of God. Struggle, sweat, grind it out, and be in the game. You'll learn more and you'll grow. You know, how much can you practice dribbling? But it's hard, unless you have a twin sister that likes to play soccer too, to be prepared for a defender. You know, when you're practicing by yourself, yeah, all the dribbling skills do help. But when there is an opposition in front of you that also has a strategy, as a defender, that's the game, and that's where you learn the most, and that's how you improve when we're using soccer as the picture. But just like our walk in faith, you know, getting out and sharing the gospel or giving a devotion, that's how you practice and exercise, and that's when you're in the game. You have to prepare for it and then get to the game and get to the lesson in front of really scary middle schoolers and just try your best, but that's how you grow. That sounds eerily familiar to what I'm doing right now. But weird. Even the greatest, think about this. So athletes, you know, I'm sure you guys have heard the language before. You have to walk before you can run. And just in general, have you ever heard that term? Like you need to be able to walk before you can run. You know, it's also like kind of how we grow up. And a baby, like even the greatest athletes in the world, wait, let's just use Patrick Mahomes. You guys know who that is?
No.
Patrick Mahomes was born as a baby and didn't know how to walk or crawl. And then he had to learn how to crawl. And then he had to choose to walk. You think about that. I don't know. This is weird. I'm kind of weird. But like, kind of as a Christian, I relate it to a baby that's crawling. You know, you've heard in the Bible it says, you know, what's the verse, honey? You know, we're related to lambs as a young Christian, a baby Christian, right? And you're just learning to kind of, get in the book and understand what's going on. You rely on teachers to get fed just like a baby does their mother to get fed. And then you start exercising your muscles and then you can and start, you know, teaching or doing whatever God has for you as you strive to grow and be sanctified. And I related to this, the baby, just like, you know, you've been saved, you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but there's more to it than just one decision. It's a decision that you need to make over and over again in a lot of different ways every day. And it's a choice. And I related to a baby when I was thinking on this, probably last year. If you think about it, you can get down on the ground. You guys ever been around babies like wet or just crawling and then they pull up on here and then like they got to walk and let's not even go that far. Let's think about the crawling. What are the stages of the baby? They're like, just like can't do anything, hold their neck up when they're really little. Then they start like moving their head and smiling a little bit. And then they can sit up and then crawl. Have you ever seen those videos of like a dog getting next to a baby and like showing it how to crawl or a parent trying to get down on the ground and like, come on, let's go, let's crawl, let's get some mobility here. The only thing that makes that baby get to the point of crawling is it chooses to crawl. You can't crawl for the baby. They need to have the muscles, right? But they get that as they're moving their head. But they just have to have the desire to do it. And that's why sometimes you throw a toy out there just past their reach and then they'll start to move. But that's just like being in the Christian. Like you need to learn how to crawl before you can walk, before you can run. And you need to be nourished by milk of the word through teaching or somebody else. But then you get some soft food and then you get a little bit harder food. And then by the time you know it, you're eating all kinds of food. Right? Dog food? Let's move on. What's my time like, honey? Oh, all right, let's go through this. Wow. So, farmer is the last one. 2 Timothy 2, verse 6. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. So husbandmen, their husbandry, you're dedicated, you're taking care of the land. Farmers, we know one. My father-in-law is a farmer, hardworking, they're dedicated, they're patient, and they're faithful. Think about, there are so many things outside of a farmer's control, but they know what they need to do on their part, and then they trust that God will provide the increase, the rain to get the seed up out of the ground, the sunlight to get the plant to start growing. They put the fertilizer down. And trust in God that the roots grow deep so they withstand the wind and that they can weather the storm to produce fruit. And that is very similar to what we are to do as Christians. But they know, farmers know this. And if you only take one thing away from the farmer, make it this. They know that to reap the harvest, they need to be committed from the very beginning. You can't go throw corn seed out in your yard and hope for a bumper crop that's going to pay your bills and support your family. They know it starts with getting the crop out the year before, making sure they have a good seed bed to plant into, that fertilizer's there, the pH of the soil's right. They select the right seed for their region and they plant it on time. It's not too cold. It's not too warm. It's not too late and it's not too early. But they know that every single step, you miss one and you're not going to reap the harvest that you want to be able to harvest. And then another thing is that they fully know, and this kind of relates back to the first thing I said about being impatient and being, not willing to wait around for growth. We want things immediately. Farmers fully know that growth is critical to plants' ability to bear fruit for the harvest. And they see that growth that visually changes, but growth is sometimes a hard thing, but you need to grow to be able to bear fruit, just like corn needs to grow up to that 8 or 12 feet high in order for it to be able to hold the fruit, which in this case would be ears of corn. Planting the right seed at the right time in the right season. So I feel like in today's world, we've lost connection with the process of growth. You know, you don't need to be the best soccer player the first day you start playing. You need to be dedicated at it, like the athlete striving for mastery, or the soldier who's fallen in line and following command and knowing who the enemy is. There's no fast pass or quick fix for sanctification. There's no easy button. We're called to be sanctified, and we need to take that responsibility on, under teaching and get in the Word ourselves to learn how to feed ourselves in the Word of God. But we need to be patient and committed to the process of growth, because growth is important in order to have that fruit. And God wants dirt on your hands, not receipts in your pocket. So just the takeaways here, and I'll wrap it up. Soldier, not entangled with the world or civilian affairs. If I'm not walking with God, not repentant, obedient, committed to being in the Word, dying to myself daily, I'm just a spectator in God's mission, and I want to be in the game. Because if I'm just a spectator, it affects my life, my wife's life, my girls' lives, my ministries, the church, and the community. The athlete, struggle, sweat, grind it out, be in the game every day. You don't, and I need to tell myself this, there's no shortcuts here. If you take a shortcut in a race, you're going to get disqualified. Practice hard so you're ready when you are called and in a position to be called upon. Farmer, be patient and committed to growth. Don't be discouraged or rush ahead. When corn is planted in the spring, the fertilizer's there long before it gets there. The roots have got to get deep to be able to bear that crop. Sometimes it looks great, shoots up real tall, but doesn't have any roots and falls over and can't bear fruit. So hopefully out of this 2 Timothy passage, you guys are able to take something away, qualities that you can try to look at. We talked about in occupations we all know. Everybody's heard of a farmer before.
Does everyone know what the word occupation means? What's that mean? In a work that you do. Yeah, like a job.
Job, yeah. So everybody knows what a farmer is, what an athlete is, and what a soldier is. We talked about some characteristics of those jobs or occupations or people. Hope you can meditate on that and apply some of those disciplines into your walk with Christ. So that's it. I ran over time. I thought I was going to need to like do a song and dance up here at the end to kill time. But let's get you over to church and let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, I am just thankful for the opportunity to spend some time with these middle schoolers today, Lord. I just thankful for the families that they represent, thankful for them as individuals, Lord. I just pray that they can take something away from Paul's second letter to Timothy, Lord, and kind of examine their lives. Meditate on the athlete, the farmer, and the soldier, Lord, and that they are driven to just follow you and chase you, just like they're chasing their favorite hobbies and what they want to do, Lord. But I just ask that you be with us, and I ask that these hearts are ready to receive the message of church, and I just pray for Brian and the words, Lord. I'm just thankful for your son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.